to have a little bit of an idea of the situation in the matziv of Yiddishkeit in England at the time that Rav Bessler spent time there. We're talking about before the early 40s when Rav Bessler became the Rosh HaKollel in Gateshead. Talking about prior to that, we had a rabbinical position as a Rav, and this was talking about when he arrived there, some about the mid-20s and into the 30s. So Rav Bessler was very concerned about the influence of the Sviva, the Hashpura of the Sviva. So as a result, even his child, the son that he had, even a young child, did not allow him to go to the regular school, the regular Jewish school that was in England, because the learning, even the Limud HaKodesh, was on a very, very low level. So Rav Bessler himself personally taught his son, was self-taught, school-taught, homeschooling. He himself took the time, was spending time of teaching his son, that was regarding the Limud HaKodesh, and complying with the law that insisted that you have to also have, you know, the secular education. So Rav Bessler hired someone. He hired someone to teach his son, you know, Limud HaKodesh, for a number of hours, particular hours. And while he was still a young child, well, a young boy, he sent him off to Telz in Litte, away from England. You know, a young child without a father, without a mother, especially because he felt the surroundings, you know, in England itself was not conducive to be able to raise a child according to the level of chinuch that he believed in. He points out, very interesting, for Maise, whatever Talmud Torah there was at the time, he himself was the head of that Talmud Torah. He stood in the leadership of that Talmud Torah. And he points out that the way the situation was, that most hours of the day, they were in public school. He said they were public schools. And he writes as follows. He says, if you take a look and see that the level of Jewish education at the time, and this is the way he wrote in one of the letters, he says, La'eis erev, it is only the evening. La'eis erev, on the evening, bo hatinoi ka la'talmud Torah. In other words, after a full day, he says, in public school, kid is tired. So now, at the end of the day, he comes to the Talmud Torah, Oye v'yogeya, gitu gemichit, he says. So after a hard day's work in school, he says, and he goes, he doesn't go willingly, he says, val apoy val chamosoy. And so this is against his real, you know, will, but Porsche is being forced to go there, and they force him to learn a little bit, he says, this Limud HaKodesh that he learns. He says, and what do you think, what are they learning already? So he comes at the end of the day, so he says, kol mashi agia elav, he says, Limud HaKodesh will be Eze Parashis B'Sefer Bereishis, maybe a number of Parashis, he says, in Sefer Bereishis, Chol HaYoseh, he says, and the most you could expect would be also Gam B'Sefer Shemois, maybe you're learning a little bit of Sefer Shemois, he says, Ad Mishpotim. And then he says, but Veruba, most of them, Lo Yagiru Afila Ad Chumish Kim Lendim Kriya. Most of them don't even manage get up to the level of learning Chumash. All they would be learning is Kriya, how to read. And then he says, they go, they leave the Talmud Torah, Betanosam, Sheilan Penai. He said, they have no time even to study, even the evening, the little bit that they study, they can't, because they have a lot of homework, you know, in the English homework that they have to do. Kaleim Lehechin Ashiurim Bab Beisa Sefer, he says, Shel Hagoyim. So he says, so it comes out, so ultimately he says, so they used to leave. They used to just come for a few short while, and then they came back, and when they came back, he says, they came back at age 11 and 12 preparing for the Bar Mitzvah, he says. So he comes back, he says, B'nei Yudal of your days, Lil Moides Ahav Torah. He says, but you know what? But when the time they came back to study for the Bar Mitzvah, to learn the Ahav Torah, they already forgot the Kriya that they did, a little bit of Kriya that they knew before, they forgot that they had to start to learn Kriya over again, he says. So he said, Captain Time, and he says you can realize that after when they finish the Haftarah, he says they are really reported legamra from all Torah mitzvahs. They become chuyah b'mitzvahs, coming b'chuyah b'mitzvahs, they already became potter. There's nothing, no real reason anymore to continue that. So they were just potter, he says. So it turns out that the ganze Yiddishkeit, he says, in those days, what it consists of? It consisted of, he said, maftar and nifter. Maftar is bar mitzvah, nifter is to say kaddish. That's when they would come to shul. That's what it was. It's maftar and nifter. This is the Yiddishkeit. And he says, very interesting, he says. He says, from all the 400 children, interesting, 400 children in Talmud Torah, maybe, he says, one or two I was able sort of like to steal them out, so to speak. They would be able to separate themselves apart because they managed to have a lot of talent, they were conscientious, they really wanted to study, and to ultimately send them on further to yeshiva. But he says, the others, he says, were not even able to read clearly, even the nusach, he says, of the Kaddish, would also be difficult, with great difficulty. So, what did he do? So when he saw some few Talmidim that had promise, he would take them out on his own, and Pashit, he would give of his own time. Give of his own time to study with them, and to learn with them. And Rabbi Chaim Oizer understood that he, even Pashit, first of all, he needed it for Panos himself, because the Panos, the salary that he got was very, very meager. And on the surface, it would appear that the tutoring that he did for those promising Talmidim was something that he did by force because he needed the Parnassah, which is like he truly needed the Parnassah. But at the end of the day, that was really his main satisfaction. Satisfaction in life was always to build Talmidim, to train them, and to be able, they should be able to realize their maximum potential, you know, in the learning of Torah and the area of Avedas Hashem. So it's interesting that it was always said that more than Rav Dessler would be able to influence Talmidim by the way that he taught, more than by teaching, than by setting an example. Simply being around him, just watching his mannerism, watching his midos, watching the way he davened, watching his tamimis and avodas Hashem. So just the opposite, that became a very, very drawing attraction that Talmidim would really try to flock around him to try to be able to be part, to be with him. One of the times he used to say is, you know, the Torah talks about the chiyuv that a yid should be kadoshim tiyu, a yid should try to be holy. The lashon of the pasuk also says v'hiyisim kadoshim. He says, unfortunately, he says in England, instead of a yisim kadoshim, v'yisim kadishnikim, to say kadish. That's your tachlis. Instead of yisim kadoshim, v'yisim kadishnikim. Kadishnikis, he says. People are able to say kadish. That was already considered to be a great achievement. So, regarding, you know, when you talk about the midos of a person, sometimes it's quite easy to preach it, quite easy to teach it, because theoretically, all people, all cultures, they preach with supposedly the right thing. They talk about kindness, they talk about inyanim of charity, they talk about acts of chesed. When it comes to maaseh, to really implementing their own lives, that's already a different story. It's a very fascinating thing that Rav Dessler, while still being in England, that later on, when he moved to Bnei Brak, and of course there he became the famous, world-famous Mashgiach, you know, of Ponovich. So a woman came over to him and really poured her heart out to him, that saying that she's really one alone in an entire family of many, many members due to the fact that they were all killed out and murdered during the Holocaust. And as a result, she has nobody. But while she was saying, she didn't even mean anything by it, but she just blurted out to say that she thinks that maybe there's one member, maybe one relative that somehow survived someplace in England. She just happened to say that. Rav Dessler, when he had the opportunity to go back to England for other reasons, he did not hold back to travel 12 hours to that place that she mentioned to try to find that possible relative, which she wasn't even sure, but she had to blurt it out. She just happened to blurt it out by accident. She might have a relative, one single relative that she might have. He spent 12 hours of travel to be able to go into search and to try to find that proper, possible relative and to have them reconnect these two, the single one, so someone alone. And the truth is that the Talmidim used to say that Rav Dessler, when you'd watch him, how he would thank someone profusely for the smallest toiv that anybody, I mean, we talk about Akoras HaToiv a lot, but this, he said, for the smallest toiv that you did to him, he says, the thank you and the hoidor that he would give, you would think that the person saved his life. Ad kedei kach. You would think that the person actually saved his life. There is no limit to the type of thanks that I have to give. Rav Dessler's son, Rav Nochem Zev, said that, this is very interesting, because I've heard this a long time ago also, that first of all, he said during World War II, so Rav Dessler's son, Rav Nochem Delvel, Rav Nochem Zev, happened to be able to escape from Lithuania, Pozhna Pines, a miracle, he happened to be able to escape. What is escape? He happened to come to America. Comes to America, and he manages to go to Cincinnati. Who took him in? Rav Lezer Silver. But the Silver Officers, as we know, actually treated him very, very kindly, and they tried to help him out with whatever possible to Rav Dessler's son. So Nachum Dovel, we're talking about, he was the person, he was Rav Dessler's son, who received the teva and the favor of Rav Lezer Silver. So he says, later on, after the war, when I met up with my father, he says, Rav Dessler, and I told him about it. The first opportunity when my father stepped into America, he came here for a visit. He says, my father stepped into America, he says, he took me, we bought a train ticket, where are we going? We're going to Cincinnati. Going to Cincinnati, and they go to visit Rav Lezer Silver. They spend about an hour talking, and Rav Lezer was very much mechabed Rav Dessler. He knew who he was, but he spent talking about an hour. After the hour, Rav Lezer Silver says, okay, after the pleasantries, after the niceties, says, how can I help you? I said, nothing. So why'd you come? To say thank you. Hakoras hatoiv, for what you did for my son. That was Rav Dessler. The idea is traveling, you know, all the way special to Cincinnati, Poshet. And he says, Rav Lezer Silver literally was astounded. Like he froze, could not comprehend that there would be a person that would be metalful himself. It was, by the way, many hundreds of kilometers to travel Poshet to be able to say thank you in person. He says, could have sent a telegram, could have written a letter. That was enough Poshet to do that. So this is just some of the things that we can see about, of course, the greatness of a person. And certainly when we learn his Torah, we have to realize that really represented not just something that theoretical in his mind, but that's really what he lived, and that's how he actually taught, and he influenced others the same way. So I think we should go further now. Let's take a look at Rabbi Yisai. We start again here in the bottom, just a few lines, because we started, and to finish this particular essay, page number 15 at the bottom. Oy Megidrei Harachmim LeRosho. Page number 15 in the bottom. Right, Oy Megidrei Harachmim LeRosho. Page number 15. You find it. All right. So again, so Rav Dessler here discusses, and he says the following. He says, whenever you find, he says, Kol asher yimotzei, he says, Chaye nachas boilam azeh. When you come across a person who happens to have a life of ease in this world, and you say to him, he doesn't deserve it. So what do we think in our minds? How come he has it? When you come across a person who happens to live comfortably, things happen to go his way, but we know he doesn't deserve it. Right? And basically, he doesn't seem to deserve it by the virtue of his actions. He does not seem to deserve it. So we think commonly, we are accustomed, therefore, to thinking that this is Shemagil Arez Midas Rachman. Maybe for some reason there is a Midah of Rachman. Kol Yibach Hu deals with him, right, with the Midah, with the attribute of mercy. Av Shenira, even though, Omnom says Rav Dessler, Av Shenira, even though it would appear that way, Kemoy Shabbat, that this is really coming, he says, Bemidas Harachmim, but Yesh Asher Einenu Barachmim Klau. But the truth is, he says, it may well be that the prosperity of this person is not really Rachmim at all. It's not really a taiva for him. It's not really a mile. It's not an advantage of all the so-called good fortune that this person might seem to be enjoying. As he goes on to say, which we discussed, we came across this line or two, it's the last week, and we're going to continue. Because after all, omikra mefurishu, we know that there is a beferishu posik, right? We know that the posik says, at the end of Parashas Voschanon, it says, umishalom lesoinov elponov lahavidoi. Which he wants to explain this pasuk. The pasuk basically says that many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays wicked people for the little good that they may have done, right? Umishalom l'soinov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays to his enemy, means ostensibly wicked people. They can pay them, because if they whatever mitzvah they did, they deserve to get paid. But why? What does it mean he pays them? He repays them, right, in his face in order to destroy him. What does it mean he repays them in order to destroy him? What does that mean? So Vayin Shom, take a look over there at the Targum. Look at the Targum, how the Targum interprets that phrase. It means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishalem Schar Toiv L'Rishoyim, Bad Mitzvaseyem Bo'ilam Hazeh, Kedei Lahavidam Noilam Aboh. Right? In other words, it means it's interpreted by the Targum, because Baruch Hu pays Rishoyim, Schar in this world to uproot them from the next world. So that's not really a taiva. That's not really a taiva for them. So they get paid, they get Schar. What kind of a Schar do they get? They get Schar in this world. They get Schar to uproot them from the next world. In other words, normally for a mitzvah, the real Schar of the mitzvah, again, as we know, is in the next world. But in Russia, his Schar is not repaid in the next world, but Russia gets the Schar in this world. And the truth is, by doing so, he's being really deprived of the real Schar. He's been deprived. The question is that justice? Now, if he really did a mitzvah, if they really did a mitzvah, right, and there is chah, there's reward for a mitzvah, so why did Hashem sort of like shortchange him? He gives them his reward on this world, which is a very, very limited reward compared to eternal chah. So how does that work? This is what Odessa is trying to explain. He says, Kva sha'alu rabim. There's a question that has been raised. Many ask. The question is, Ha'im derech mishpat v'tzedeku. Is it, in fact, is this fair, is this just? Because it comes out like this. The Rasha, being that he's a Rasha, he's going to get a lot of punishment on his bad deeds. So not only is he going to be punished for the bad deeds, but even for the good, he's not going to get full schar. Because we are paying him as a reward on this world. So the Chayyar, where's the justice? On the surface. Because this Rasha, Asher Loi Dai Sheyam Nishu L'Rasha Robat Kol Avi Roisov Asher Ova. Because this Rasha, not only is he going to be punished for all of his sins, but does that mean that he also has to lose the schar of the few mitzvahs? Does he have to lose schar of the few mitzvahs by having it paid in this world? That's called being losing schar. Getting paid on this world is tantamount of losing your real schar. Because it's just being given a fraction of what the true schar is in the next world. So he says, so elagam yikhu memenu, does it seem fair that we're also, in addition that the Rosh is going to be punished in his averus, we're also going to take away from him eschar ha-mitzvahs ha-ma'atah shaloi, a little bit of mitzvahs that he does. Right, a little bit of mitzvahs that he does already. So the schar that he could have gotten for those little bit of mitzvahs, we're taking it away from him. V'yishalmu lo ischaron, and therefore we're paying him the schar only in this world. Rak bo'el mazeh, schar in this world is bemes havel havolim. Because how long is this world? What is this world tantamount? What does it mean? It's all a world of vanity. It's a world of illusion. And all the schar in this world can't possibly contain sufficient reward even for a single mitzvah. As we already learned above in the previous essay. Right? That's what we know that schar mitzvah by Amaleke. Schar mitzvah by Amaleke does not mean that Kosh Baruch Hu does not pay schar in this world. It means it's not possible to pay. Schar mitzvah by Amaleke does not simply mean Kosh Baruch Hu does not pay schar in this world, which that's also part of it. But schar mitzvah by Amaleke means it's not possible. The schar of the mitzvah is so eternal, it is so overwhelming, it is to such a degree that there's nothing, as we already went through in the previous essay, there's nothing in this world, putting everything together, cannot amount even to a chelik of the schar of the mitzvah. And yet the Rosh is being paid schar in this world, which seems to be very much shortchanged. So where's the mishpat v'tzedek regarding that? So let's assume as follows. The truth is, he says, V'yesh binyan ze kame gidorin. He says, the truth is, it's a many-sided topic. This topic that we're discussing now, he says, Asher gam lefi koitan seichel ha'odam mivonim hemo. In other words, there are some aspects that even our limited human brain can grasp. And yet, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sense of justice, right, sometimes, in many cases, is so deep that it's impossible to comprehend it. But in this case, sometimes he says there's a way to explain it, says Rav Dessler. That's what he says. There are ways, certain aspects, Ashegam lifi koitan sechel odom, even taking in consideration the small, the minute, right, the limited sechel, still we are able to explain it. However, there are certainly many more aspects which are completely beyond our comprehension, as he says. There are other aspects, Ashegam lifi koitan. He says, how can a human being ever imagine even that it can understand, he says, the profundity of Hashem's judgment? How can you even imagine to try? That you're capable of doing that? He says. They should be able to understand and to grasp. It's called Imke, where all of the depth, Gidrei Mishpot of Yisbarach Hashem's judgment, as the Pasuk says, Ma'oid Omku Machshavisecho. Right? It says, Magodol Ma'asecho Hashem, we say, Mizmashil Yem HaShabbos, and Tehillim. Right? Magodol Ma'asecho Hashem, how great are your works, Hashem? And it's followed by saying, Ma'oid Omku Machshavisecho, your thoughts are exceedingly deep. So Hashem's thoughts are so exceedingly deep, how can you expect that really we should be able to fathom and understand Hashem's judgment, he says. However, there are certain aspects that we can try to understand and we're able to explain, even according to our small limited seichel. So therefore he says, Nazikim Bozeh. So therefore we'll mention here one or two points, he says. One or two points, Min Agdorim HaMubonim Alonu. We'll try to mention here one or two points that are amenable to our understanding, that we're shocked to understand. The Gambozeh, he says, and you'll find plenty of food for thought even in what we're trying to say, even though it's, of course, overall, it's just a very small amount of what there is to say, he says. The Gambozeh yesh dai lohovin l'haskil. And it goes on to point like follows. When you talk about doing mitzvahs, says Rav Dessler, there's two levels of quality in doing mitzvahs. We begin with that. Doing mitzvahs, yid does a mitzvah, another yid does a mitzvah. Hundreds of you are now doing mitzvahs. But the quality of the form of mitzvahs are not the same. There are two basic levels. There are two basic levels which separate, we separate different people of how they do mitzvahs. And the basic levels, we know about these two levels. Number one, there is the higher level and then there's the lower level. The higher level, he says, is number one. The loftier level. The higher level of doing a mitzvah, of course, is Hu Asuyim L'Shem Shamayim, where the motivation for doing the mitzvah is L'Shem Shemayim, for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, for the sake of heaven. U'b'kavonas Alev, right? Where the intention is L'Avodas Hashem, because you want to serve Hashem. U'l'Hidabik B'drochav HaKadoshim, and you want to follow, right, in Hashem's holy ways. Of course, that is the higher level of doing a mitzvah. You do a mitzvah L'Shem Shemayim, because we want to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We were doing the mitzvah because Hashem told us to do that. We want to follow in Hashem's ways. We want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our purpose. No ulterior motive. That's level number one. But then says Rav Dessler, there's base two. There's number two. There's level number two. Level number two is, you're also doing a mitzvah. And by the way, it's also doing a mitzvah, but it's on a lower level. What is level number two? Level number two, he says, Kishei Masuyim Shloi Lishmo. When you do a mitzvah, he says, for ulterior motives. Shloi Lishmo means you're doing it for... Now, interesting, even in the Shloi Lishmo, there's also different levels. There's different levels of ulterior motives. Some are more praiseworthy, some are, but the bottom line is, they are Shloi Lishmo. They are Shloi Lishmo. And that is, as he points out, you have Oy. He gives an example. One possible, right, example of Shloi Lishmo is... Oyafilu, he says, Mipnei Shemaisim Hem, even let's say, this would seem to be okay, but it's not perfect. He says, for example, let's say a person does a mitzvah, right? Mipnei Shemaisim Hem Toivim V'Yeshorim. He does a mitzvah because, you know, the appeal, right? The appeal to his better nature. Ah, this is a nice thing to do. That's very nice. But you're doing it not because Hashem told you to, you're doing it because it appeals to your nature. That's also called an ulterior motive. Albeit it's not a gefelche, ulterior motive, not such a bad Shloi Lishmo, but it is Shloi Lishmo. Because you may be doing it, he says, I feel, he says, even if you're doing it because Hamaisa Mem Toivim V'Yishorim, you may be doing it because these Maisim, he says, they seem to be right and the decent thing to do. So you're doing it because your mind told you it's the right thing to do, right? So you're not doing it because you want to necessarily serve Hashem. You're not doing this because you want to come closer to Hashem. You're not doing it because you want to connect to Hashem. You're doing it because these things are very nice things to do. I'm a human being, right? And in my eyes, these appear to be the right and the decent thing to do, as he points out to say. After all, human beings, right, have human qualities. As a result of human qualities, that may drive a person to do that which he believes to be decent and right. Right? But the point is not doing it out of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called Shlo Lishmo. Nevertheless, it's a Maisa Mitzvah. It is a Maisa Mitzvah. Still is a Maisa Mitzvah. So there are two levels of doing Mitzvah. One is doing it out of service to Hashem, because you want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Baruch Hu gave us this Mitzvah. By doing this Mitzvah, I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to make me holier, partially connected to Hashem. Then there's ulterior motives, which is the Inyan of Shlo Lishmo. Now, what is reward for a Mitzvah? What is the nature of the reward? When we talk about Eschar Bo'ilam Habo, what is the nature of that reward? What does that mean? So the verse as follows. Then he says, Haschar Bo'ilam Habo, as far, he says, as reward in the future world, right? So the Gemara describes it. You know what it means? You know what that Eschar is? Chazal tells us, this is Asher Tzadikim Yoshvim. Tzadikim are sitting in Gan Eden. Right? And they enjoy the splendor of the Shechina. We're sitting here in this world, in our earthly bodies, cannot even imagine why this is so pleasurable. And yet, as we say many, many times, and we say it again, just open up the Mesillas Yesharim right away, Perek Aleph. The Mesillas Yesharim said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Kulei Toi, put us here in this world, to be able to enjoy the ultimate, the next world, to bask in the glory of Hashem, and to be able to earn it with our avodah here in this world, which we were put here on this world to be able to earn the schar based upon our actions in this world, to be able to be zeichet, to be in the hands of Hashem. And Ramchal goes out to point out, there's nothing in this world that you can put together with all of the descriptions that can amount to anything close to explain what it means, that tremendous pleasure. This is the Tanuk of Gan Eden, sitting in splendor and basking in the glory of the Shekhinah. We are so far removed because we are earthly beings, we have no idea what that means. But the pleasure in that Hanor that a Neshama would have, Nehenem is Dira Shechina, is something that nothing in this world can even come close or can be something similar to be able to point out, you know, it's something like that. There's no way to describe it. There's no element in this world to describe it. So the Schar again is mentioned of a Mitzvah, is Tzadikim Yoshim, they sit in Gan Eden, Nehenem is Dira Shechina, Haina, Hasochar Bo'ilam Habohu, which means that the schar de forum abo means lihidabek elov yisbarach. You can have the opportunity literally to connect, right? You connect, you gain an attachment. You gain an attachment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the highest pleasure that's possible. Lihidabek elov yisbarach bedvekes al yoino, right? In a higher attachment, the highest attachment possible. The Liskois, and you will be Zoyche, you will merit, right? And you will merit, he says, Lashpor Gedoyle Ruchnis Bahasagosa Yisborach. You will experience, right, a great inpouring, a spiritual awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hasoge means awareness of Hashem. To become aware of Hashem to such a level which we can't imagine on this world, that is going to be the Schar of a Mitzvah Olam Haba, and that's the greatest pleasure imaginable. That's the greatest pleasure that is shaykh, to be zoyche, to connect, to be attached with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to have an inpouring of spiritual awareness of Hashem's glory. As he says, Hashpor Gedoyle, right? Hashpor Gedoyle means an inpouring of Ruchnias Basagosoi, becoming aware of Hashem. So he says, you know when you get that kind of a schar? This is how he develops the thought. That kind of a schar. The schar, which means to become elevated to a point, you become so connected to Hashem, and you will be zoiche, right, to a tremendous hashpor of greater awareness of Hashem's glory. All that, because on this world, when you did the mitzvah, you also did it in that fashion. Which means, he says, omnom, he says, im ha-mitzvahs, it depends, he says. A person whose mitzvahs asher also oisam odom, heimo begeder hadveikis elav yisborach. A person whose mitzvahs were done in this world on the level of spiritual attachment to Hashem, right? If when you did the mitzvah in this world, how did you do it? On which level did you do it? If you did the mitzvah on level number one, level number one means that you did the mitzvahs on this world, right, to create dveikus b'Hashem, to come closer to Hashem. That's why you did the mitzvahs. You did the mitzvah Hashem told you to do it, and you're doing it in service of Hashem, serving Kol Baruch Hu, to come closer to Hashem. So when a person does the mitzvah in this world that way, So he says, Oz haschar hu. So then he says, the reward in the next world, right? Then the reward in the next world, he says, ki oisa kedusha. That kedusha that he himself created when he did the mitzvah will be multiplied millions of times more in the next world. All of the kedusha that he created by doing the mitzvah in this world, because that's the way he did the mitzvah. He did the mitzvah on level number one, which means to gain attachment to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He did the mitzvah in a way on the level of spiritual attachment to Hashem. Doing a mitzvah, right, through which you're going to gain spiritual attachment to Hashem, doing it on that level. So Memele says all the Kedusha will be redoubled in the next world. As he points out, he says, what happens? Ki oisa kedusha sheboil nafshoi. That kedusha which is neshama absorbed in this world when he did the mitzvah on that level. So when you did the mitzvah on that level, creating kedusha, so all the kedusha sheboil nafshoi, they came into his neshama on this world. Al yidei dvikuso b'Hashem Yisborach, right? By being attached to Kol Yibachu, he'll find out. Tinosim loy bekifle kiflaim alfa alofim pamim. In other words, his whatever awareness of Hashem that he was able to attain on this world through his Kima Mitzvahs, he'll find out that awareness will be heightened. It'll be heightened a thousandfold, a millionfold, right? Until that a person's awareness will reach the uttermost limits possible for a human created being. To mamish to the end power, he says. It'll go so far, he says, that he will be zoich, as he points out, tinosoma again, be kiflik kiflaim, he'll get in the next world. It'll be redoubled over and over again. Alfe alofim, many, many thousands and thousands of times, the yiske, and he will be zoich in the next world. Lahasigbo, he'll be zoich, he says, to gain an awareness, at kidei ho efshus hachi al yoino, right? To the limit, to the uttermost limit possible, ashi yuchal nivra lahasik, that a created being will able, he says, to be able to receive. Okay, so that, he says, is when you get that kind of a schar of a mitzvah. You get, the nature of the schar is based upon the way the mitzvah was done in this world. So the mitzvah was done in this world by attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by doing the mitzvah here in this world, by attaching yourself, he says, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amela, he says, all the Kedusha that you gain by your mitzvahs, attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the amount that you were able to in this world, in the next world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redouble that millionfold to give you a much greater awareness. How great? To the uttermost limit that a created being is able to have awareness of Hashem. That is, if you did the mitzvahs on this world that way, so the schar in the next world will follow the same way, but more, much more. However, it says Rav Dessler, he says, but let's take a look further. On the other hand, ach zeh. However, he says, what about the person? Ashemasav ha-toivim eim behem oisei inyan shol dvekes bo yizborach. But what a person, Rabbi Isai, he's doing mitzvahs. But his mitzvahs, his good deeds, his ma'isim, don't possess this special quality of attachment to Hashem. Those people who, even when they do mitzvahs, but those mitzvahs are unrelated, right, to gain an attachment to Hashem, so those people can't have, right, cannot have, he says, a possible connection that we just spoke about, this heightened connection, he says, in his char, as he points out. A person whose mitzvahs themselves, aim behem oisa inyan, again, shall vekis bo yibar, halaynana shach as they call. In other words, it's impossible, says Rav Dessler, to give a person a reward for which his actions have no shaykhs to that reward. If his mitzvahs themselves that he did on this world had nothing to do with creating kedusha, right, and elevating himself, he'd become closer to Kedusha. He did it for other reasons. Desirable, it's nice to do it. Maybe for COVID. Well, he did mitzvahs. Yes, they are mitzvahs. But if those mitzvahs, right, did not inherently have in it, which is the drive in order to bring a person closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it was not the ikar for Avodas Hashem, so the reward therefore cannot be something to which his actions themselves had no shaykhs to it. So therefore he says, okay, he says the aim at sea is klal, he says, it's not possible. Ech lishalon, how can you pay by the hamaisim toivim shaloi bischar shema maisim shem shachlal? So you're going to give him a schar now, right? Then the next world you're going to bask in the glory of Hashem. When his mitzvahs himself didn't contain that, any of that. The way he did the mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of them contain any of that aspect or that element. So how are you going to give him that reward in the next world? He's going to sit and be in the henna mitzvah Hashchinah. You'll give him a reward to some of his actions on some did not contain that. So he says, okay, therefore, in such a situation, ma'asher ma'asof, he says, so ma'ela, what it means is, this person maybe did good things, im gam toivim him. Well, yes, we're not denying, he did good deeds. He did ma'asim toivim. In other words, he may have done good deeds, but he never rose above the level of the human. His good deeds never rose above the level of the human. They are humanistic actions. They're humanistic actions. In other words, humanistic actions are rooted in this world. Humanistic actions are rooted in this world. Consequently, the word is also similarly in things of this world. So that's how his mitzvahs. His mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that he did, were humanistic, didn't rise above the human. For COVID, it's nice, right? It's a good thing to do in society, it's admirable. Nothing to do with becoming elevated closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing with creating Kedusha, near of Kedusha. So by doing mitzvahs in the Shlomo Shema level, which means he never rose above the human level, becoming attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if the mitzvahs that he did never brought him to rise above the human level, his chal also is rooted in this world. Because his whole mitzvahs, everything had to do with this world. That's the form of his mitzvahs. So he points out, lo'olu again, lo'olu l'mal m'b'chin anushis, he never rose above the human aspect. Ha'ina ma'isim toivim menushim. In other words, there are humanistic actions that are rooted in this world. Mishum zeh gamaschal hu b'b'chinis hamusegis bo'il mazeh. So therefore, it says, the reward also is similarly, it's rooted in things of this world. Umamish, when it comes out. So when it comes out, it's like, mamish midi k'neged midi. Kfi erach ha'maisim, ru'mos ischar. According to the type of the quality of the maisim, that's how the schar is going to go. V'o'olam, in other words, his schar goes, right? His schar goes according to the world that his actions had connection to. Right, the schar goes. The schar is paid in that world to which his actions are connected to. For ha'olam, asher ha'maisim, hei meshaychem elof. Right, right. The nature of the word has to be precisely equivalent again to the quality of the maaser, and it can only exist in the same world to which the actions belong. So, if his actions belong right above this world, connection, attachment to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Vekas Bashem, that's the idea, that's the avodah which he does. So Mamela therefore, so then he's rising above the human level. The idea is not for any ulterior motive for himself. The whole avodah is to create Kedusha, to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be miskar to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So creating that, so limited means that a person with his earthly hands is able to create Kedusha. Kadosh Baruch Hu will repay him in kind, but many, many, many times over in the area of Kedusha. But a person who does the mitzvahs, yes, good mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, but he does it, right, and without rising above the level of human, he has the human ulterior motives, whatever they may be. It's not in service of Hashem per se. That's not what it is. He has other inyonim. So therefore, his actions, therefore, havishaychis, are related to this world. If the way he does the mitzvahs is related to this world, the schar also is going to be related to this world. And that's the nekuda that he points out over here. So we're going to go to Ruk Rabbeish on page 17, but go to, skip the top few lines, go to base. Let's go to base, which you see where he says, it's base, Omar HaKosuf. Take a look, Omar HaKosuf. It goes with this. We know there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Poiseach es yodecho, umazbi alochol chay rosoin." Right? We say in Ashrei. We say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Open your hand," right? And he says, "And a Kodesh Baruch Hu," right? Basically, he satisfies the will of every living being. That's simple translation. But Schwab in his sefer tries to explain it in another way, and so on and so forth. Common, simple translation, the Poshe Pshat is, Poseach as Yodecho, Kodesh Baruch Hu, open your hand, umazbi and satisfy l'chol chai rotzo, I mean to say, is to satisfy the will of every living being. Now, is that really possible? To satisfy the will of every living being, after all, says Rav Dessler, you're saying, Shashem Yisbarach memalei rotzo im kol nivro, that Kodesh Baruch Hu fulfills, right? He fulfills the will of every human being. On the surface, he says, it's very difficult to understand because He says, "Vadover poshetu ki ritzoynes bnei yodom soisre meilu eselu." The fact is, he says, that the ritzoynes, which means is that the people often want conflicting things. As a matter of fact, you have people. Reuven wants Shimon's object, and Shimon wants Reuven's object. Hashem's going to fulfill. Going to give him this. Going to give him this. Says what's going to happen. There's all types of things that people want. Heim kol echad chofetz b'chol ashel reyehu. First, people want what everybody else wants, what somebody else has. But what he himself has, he doesn't want to give up either, right? So I want to have what you have. He wants to have what I have. So I shouldn't really have what he has, but he shouldn't have what I have. So, and yet, right, we all want the same thing, right? I want his, he wants mine, but I want mine too. And he wants his too, plus mine. No, Sadan Kajbok fulfills everybody's rotzen. So how's it end up with? How's it work? How's it work? He says, because they are conflicting with Sinus. And just a gavocher, there is a mimer in the Zohar Kodesh says, the Velt quotes it in Loshon Kodesh, but there's no mocha really in Shas for that, but the concept is a concept that is said, Eloch dobro ha'imed bifnei ha'rotze. The power of Rotzen is very strong. As they said, the sources of Zohar Kodesh, which means that the koyach of a person really wants something, there's really nothing that can stand in its way. If a person really, really wants something, he'll do whatever possible to get it. Eloch dobro ha'imed bifnei ha'rotzen. So Avjolti said many, many years ago, he said, or Bazoi says, instead of a person really asking Hashem, right, for 15 different individual things that he may want, ask Hashem, he says, to give us the power of Rotzen. We should want the right things. Give us Rotzen. The problem is we want things that are wrong things. Let us be mispal, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the rotzen for the right things. No. If, once we have the rotzen, we'll have it already. We'll have what we want. Why? Because ein lach dovar ha'imed bifnei rotzen. As long as we have the rotzen for the right things. So he said like this, Peseach es yodecho, Kadosh Baruch Hu, open up your hand. What? Give me this. No. I'm not asking for 25 things. Umazbi al cholchai rotzen. Give us the right rotzen. If you give me the right rotzen, my male will have everything. Because ein lach dovar ha'imed bifnei rotzen. So Sassamis once said, you know, we say Mashpois Yorim Evyun, we say in Hallel. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to raise up people who are so lowly, by like people who are destitute. Kadosh Baruch Hu can raise them up from the garbage. Mashpois Yorim Evyun. The word Evyun also has a meaning, says Sassamis. Evyun means to want. For example, Loi Ova Lishalchom. What does Loi Ova mean? He did not want to send them out. Loi Avisem Lalois. Avisem means to want. What does it mean, lo yoyve Hashem? Hashem does not want to forgive him. Yoyve. Ova. Evye means to want. So Hashem is the problem is we want a lot of things. But the rotzen licked in the garbage. So we say to Hashem, ma'ashpois yorim evyoin. Our rotzen should be raised up from the garbage. Evyoin is from Russian rotzen. Rabbi Hashem, give me the rotzen for the right things. I want a lot of things, but not for the wrong things. Kadosh Baruch Hu, elevate our ritzonis. We should have the ritzonis for the right things. Ma'ashpo is yorim evya, and every ritzonis should be raised up from the ashpo. Should be something of quality, something that's worthwhile. That's the idea of rotzen. In any case, so Abetel says as follows. That ends up with this. Right. So what does it mean? So Vim Kane, so we'll go to the fourth line we're up to. Vim Kane says, Ritzoyne Shoseh, Soyse, Ubikim, Ritzoyne Shoseh. So it comes out that really that there's a contradiction between one person's rotzen to the others. They can be conflicting each into each other's territory. The Epsilon Malushem, so you can't fulfill both Ritzoynes, you can't fulfill the will of both. So he says, Ritzim Mephoshim. So that's the said, but then he says later another Pshat. But one Pshat really he says, well, you know what the meaning is? Mazvi al Chol Chai Rotzen, it's not referring to, I said, you know, Bashan, I want a car. Okay, he'll give you a car. I want a house, give me a car. No. But Bilchai wants to mean like this. Every Yid who does mitzvahs, envisions in a certain way what kind of schar he may get. And maybe if you'd ask a Yid, what type of schar would you want? What type of schar? Different people, depending on their level, would have different understanding of what true schar is. So if a person is a Olam Hazadigi person poshet, who is poshet, a Gashmi is a good person, he would like, if he'd have a choice, he'd like his schar, Olam Hazeh, Baishlam, give me a nice bank account, right? Give me opportunity to go on vacation, the elegant zachen, right? If a person lives on a higher level, he understands that this is Hevel Havolim, then he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please give me this schar, not in this world. Give me the schar in the next world. The Dosa says, Kadosh Baruch Hu must be L'chol Chai Rotzen, he'll give the schar where you want it. You want this schar in this world? Okay, you got it. You'll get this world. But remember, next world, you may find yourself wanting. On the other hand, you set yourself, no, Rabbi Shalom, don't give me on this world. Give me on the next world. God says, you know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to resolve. And if you have it in the next world, the schar is, we said, kifle kiflayim, many, 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 many times over. So Abbezel says, v'risi mefoshim shulinyin haschar akos and medaber. When it says, v'chol chai rotzoim, what do you mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills the rotzoim? Fulfills the rotzoim, what, in which area would you like your schar? That's what it means, but v'chol chai rotzoim. Sha'atzadik yitze. Right? The tzadik, he would like kischar mitzvos of Yeshua Meloi Boilam Abo. The tzaddik wants the reward for his mitzvahs in the world to come, and the punishment, by the way, he wants in this world. The schar he wants in the next world. The punishment he wants in this world, so Melech, it's over, and it comes into the next world pure, ready for schar. That is the tzaddik's rotzen. For Oynish Averis, Yenosa Leboilam Azeh. Because Oynish Olam Hazeh is bad. Nobody likes Oynish, of course. But some Kosov, it's limited. This world is an Olam Oiver. It's a transient world. So may let the Oynish be on this world, but the Tzchar let be in the eternal world. That's the Tzadik. Right? So for the Tzadik, this world doesn't have much value. He wants the next world. He likes the Tzchar. But the Rosh is the opposite. The Rosh, on the other hand, his chefetz and his rotzen, right? He desires nothing as much as material achievements. The Rosh wants lahasig olam hazeh harbe. V'im yishaleu. Right? If the Rosh would be consulted, he would prefer the schar of his mitzvahs to be paid in the currency of this world. That's how we would prefer. In the current of this world, gratification, riches, and honor, as he says. But if you ask the Rosh, he said, Yivcha loish eschar mitzvah yishuv loi benachas v'oisher v'kovid b'olam hazeh. He's not particularly interested in the world to come. Val devar ho'olam habo harei lo yosim liboy. He's not very interested in the world to come. As a matter of fact, and if you ask him, where would you rather suffer? The Rosh. If you ask him to suffer, he would rather prefer to postpone the suffering, the world to come, because he's not completely convinced that there is such a thing. So I said, why? Don't give it to me now. Give it to me in the world to come. That's what Bessel says. The Yibcha, in Yeshua Lisboil, if he has to suffer, doesn't believe in some. So that's the pshat. Pesach HaSedech Madil HaChol Chai Rotzayim. Kabbalah says, listen, you can draw up here. Schar, tell me where you want the schar. Check off. A, B. There's 2 boxes. Where do you want it? Schar, Oynish. Punishment. Where? This world, that one, next world. So you can actually write the script. We should have the cycle to ask for the right thing. Because we ourselves can be the one who really has ordained our own destiny. I'm wondering if we have big charote on the choices that we make. So Pesach Sadecho must be al Chol Chai Rotzim. We'll stop here for a moment, Rabbi Sai, and let's take a look at the sheet here a little bit. So we're talking about Chosovis, we're talking about how we should look about Tzadikim, talking about Rishoyim over here. Let's take a little bit on the sheet. There was something interesting in the attitude of how a Yid is supposed to learn Chumash, how a Yid is supposed to learn Tanakh, when we see about biblical characters, you know. Don't take the algamai, just simple translation of how one learns Tanakh without understanding. When somebody learns Chumash, and we find very strong words here, we find starting, you'll see soon the Chovas Alvodis as well. This is, Rabbi Yisai, there's a sefer called Tfer Sovis, as you see here. Has to be a Choshver Baal Musar, Netzisrael, his name is Rav David Gold, and he's a manik Ruchni in Yeshivat Tfer Avraham Itri in Netzisrael. So first he starts like this. A person, the truth, before you open up a Chumash, you should tremble. You know to what extent you should tremble? HaKharoda HaGdoilish Yisrich Elias Lono, he says. The extent of trembling that we should have, Kashi Nigoshim Lumo De La'ayin Beparshi Salolu, especially Parshi Bereishis. Parshi Bereishis, talking about Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. It's so easy, you know, because when we're little children in the Cheder, and Rebbe tells us the story, we think of Avraham, we all have the images of what Avraham Avinu may have looked like, or Yitzchak Avinu, and we read like a nice story, like there were other, there are human beings just like us, and they went through what their life's experiences. So he says, when we go through the Parshas Bereishis, and we read about the Ovis HaGdoshim and so on, we should tremble. You know how? Imagine a person who is barefoot, he has wet hands, and he's touching a high voltage wire. This the marshal is giving you. Come on, Odem Shoyim at Yachav, Ubi Yadayim Rutuvois with wet hands, right? Mesachik is playing Bechute Chashmal Shal Metach Gevoya, high voltage. That's the kind of trembling. Why? That he points out. Gisha Seinu, he says, our attitude, Luma, is Parashas HaTanach. Unfortunately, our attitude when we learn Tanakh, he said, when we do that, Oleinu Lesalik Shtei Mechshoilis Ikrim. We have to remove two obstacles. Whenever you learn Tanakh, remember you should remove two obstacles. Aleph 1, Gis to the Yang Sur Ma'avasesis. Remove, he says, that first impression that when you learn Tanakh, when you learn Chumash, he says, as a child. Because when you learn a child, you learn with childless Seichel. Your comprehension of Avraham Avinu is with the Seichel of a child. Yitzchok Avinu was with the seichel of a child. Remove all that distorted vision, he says. When you learn Tanakh, when you learn these parashiyos, remove the distorted vision that you had learning it as a child. Guess at the youngster, uproot it. As he says, Beis lahafkias harochas isha toireh. Remove your evaluation, he says. We tend to evaluate the others, right, and all the biblical characters based upon how we evaluate us. You know, we're human beings. More of the same. So we look upon them based upon our vision of ourselves, and by extension of ourselves, we somehow have an idea of what they might be like. Remember, they have no shaykhs to you, he says. Remove that. Don't think of them by understanding what a human being is all about, because you know what you're all about. So somehow you think you can understand what they're all about. Remove any comparison of what you might think that you are compared to what they are. And he goes on to say, Miyaldus, he says, as children, Onumur Golem, we have become accustomed, Lituyurim Yaldusiyim. We have childish views. We have childish views, Ketanunim, which means small, miniature, Mugishomim. Very Gashmistic views, materialistic. Oides Ovesekdoshim. We think of them, right, as people just like we. The kosher law, and therefore it's very hard as we grow older even, it's difficult for us to disconnect ourselves. It's nothing bin a scholar ishoina. Then our first comprehension should kibble bin yazeh. He said a very beautiful story. Listen, there's number four over here. It's a bunch of all the stories. He said, Mesapur malah be'echod, he says, did he say a story about a father? Shebola malamed, he says, shobanoi, a father comes to a malamed of his son, with a pimpa kosher. Okay, here you have it. A father goes, takes his son, he goes to the Rebbe. He says to his Rebbe, listen, I know my son, he says, he's not because I'm a graceful Balkishan. I don't expect him to be a Bukyager. I don't expect him to be a Chassam Sofer. All I want is to be a Poshto Yid like Avraham Avinu. That's what we think of Avraham Avinu, right? Yaakov, you know, had sheep, and Yitzchak had this, and he would have it, do a business, and then Yalim in Azachim. Right? That's what he says. The Sabbath says, Allah be'echon, Shabbat amlam, it's your benoit, but pib bakoshe. Makar noich is benoit, he says to the Rebbe, listen, I know my son, I don't expect him to become a world goyin. I know my son, ain hu min hamukhshorim agdoilim. He's not the ones who have the tremendous talent. Gam ain a bal nefesh gedoil, he's probably not going to be the greatest year shemaim in the world either. Right? Kach, therefore, she'nene mitzapa mimeno she'yetze kimoya goyim bevilna, don't expect that he should become a Vilna goyim, or a bikivege. And Iraq writes that she tishtava, please Rabbi, all I ask from you, she yates the man and you do poshut the toys, come out of Medina. That's all I want from you. So he says, look what the Chovis Alvavis says, alright? Okay? I'm going back to Chovis Alvavis, right? From the great Rishonim. Cross the Baal Chovis Alvavis b'shar chesh ben ha-nefesh. The Chovis Alvavis says in shar chesh ben ha-nefesh, in the 24th cheshben. Royal Chola Haskil Be'ez, he says, Choyzak Sich Lecho Vakaroscho. Chovis Alvavis says, as you mature, and you're learning now Chumash as a mature person, erase the attitudes that you had when you learned the same Pasuk Chumash, mit dem kindischen Seichel, with your immature Seichel. Because now you're going to hopefully realize this is not the same Avraham Avinu that you thought you knew. Chovis Alvavis says that. When you're learning, he says, Bechoyzak Sich Lecho, and that's when your Seichel is already mature. Right? That means Chumash. When you have Seichel, now you have a mature Seichel to learn Torah, the Sefer Nevi'ot, or you can learn Tanakh, right? Look what he says. Kimi shloi lomad mehemois. Imagine that you never learned it. In other words, I want you, he says, when your Seichel is mature, imagine that you never opened the Ration, you never heard of Avraham Avinu till now. I don't want you, said the Chosol, to be influenced when you get older and smarter and mature, to think that Rav Avinu has any shaykhet to what you thought he was when you were a child. He says, imagine that you never learned Chumash before. You're learning it now for the very first time. The Chentaz also, when you learn Tanakh, you learn the words of the Chachomim. The Chentaz of the Chachomim v'Kabbalah. We have a kasha on the Chachomim. We have a kasha on Dovid HaMelech. We have a kasha. The problem is you don't understand. We don't understand. There you have to be done with Kavzchus, he says. Chaim Savoda says this. Valtenu ardatcho, he says. Do not be satisfied on Mashin is Bala etcho betchilas lemudach. Don't be satisfied that I already know what Avraham Avinu is, Yitzchak is, because when I started to learn many years ago, Yechvai Shem, I know about him, I already heard about him. No. He says, Ela tova olavas napshecho, force yourself, kemishim maschil, boys, if you're starting right now. Oz Yirolachom, then you're going to find out from the Seidus HaTorah. Now the true Seidus of the Torah is going to become revealed to you that you never knew. The Seidus HaChomim, Mashi Efshel HaSigoy, that which you could not have understood, he said, Mitzad Limud HaMalamdim Oizcho B'tchilas, he says, Inyoncho. That which when you started to know, you never would be able to reach the understanding now. So erase whatever you thought you knew about anything that you learned in Chumash. Now that you're mature, just begin new. Kitzures Onyonim Hadakim. The tzura of sensitive inyonim, somebody who has a shvacha mind, can no way understand as a mature mind. We're talking about very sensitive issues here. So when you're young, you have, he says, as he says, it's a hakora chalusha. It's a weak mind. It's an immature mind. Certainly cannot do justice to sensitive issues as the mature mind says. That's basically what the Chovas Avoda says. That's what the Chovas Avoda says. And let's go to number 7 because we have to miss time. It's basically the same idea. Look at number 7. Go to the side, on the left side. Oid michshol kosher yeshna. There's another, he says, obstacle that we have to overcome when you learn Tanakh, when you learn Chumash, when you learn Chazal. There's a michshol that you overcome. And that is, v'hu, ki ein lo ilo odom, he says, Kalem, we do not have the tools. We don't have the tools, laharich madrigosum shalachirim, no matter who it is. If you want to evaluate somebody, you know on what basis you value somebody? With your seichel. Which means to say is that your havon and the other person is only going as far as your seichel is. So you're going to even try to evaluate a godel hador, you're only going to be able to size them up based upon your havon and your seichel. That itself is a misnomer, he says. Because the ainly of them kalim, because the kalim, right? The extent that your ability laharich madrigosim shalachayim to evaluate others elad hechem shiyoch laharches atzmoi. It's only that to the extent that you're able to evaluate yourself, to the ability that you're able to evaluate yourself, that koyach, right? You can utilize to try to evaluate others. That's the extent of it. K'men shomru, as they said, it takes one to know one. Right? It takes one to know one. There's one said. They said the truth is. So they said b'shem and odom godel when the Vilna Gaon was nifter, Vilna was gifter. So then they developed everywhere. Has spayed them all over the world. Odom godel said the only one who can be master with the Vilna Gaon be the Vilna Gaon himself. But they should get up from the other side and be master with himself, or he should write his own husband. Who can be master with the Vilna Gaon? To be master, to know an odom godel, you have to be an odom godel. He says, Ki Odom Godel, he says, we is Odom Godel, Bechdelo Das Laharachod, you have to be an Odom Godel and be able to be evaluated an Odom Godel. Ki Odom Shaifet is also because a person judges, right, somebody else, Rakulfi Hakarosa is Atsamoy. Akol Chushoysov, when he sees his own weaknesses, he thinks that the other person still has the same thing. Vechesvenoysov, Vecholas Ogoysov, Mitstamtim, and everything that you could be masik, that you can understand, is concentrated only in the limitations of your own understanding about yourself. And utilizing your tools, right, those are the tools that you're utilizing to try to evaluate somebody else. And therefore he says, this is a big mistake, go down 2 lines by the dash over there. Anachnu mabitim ala isha Torah. So the problem is, when we look at biblical characters, we look at people like Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a saga of Moshe Rabbeinu, or anybody that's mentioned in the Torah, we look at them, right, through our eyes, and therefore we look at them and try to appreciate their godliness based upon our lenses. Mishkafayim shalatzmeinu, through our eyes. And to the extent that, right, that our seichel allows it, Right? The milus of a person, the chesroinus. That's the way metargimim kochonim, that's the way we explain, and when we are mefarish, right? When the Torah talks about the obvious, we try to explain our way. You can see all kinds of articles, you can see that are written trying to explain the obvious. We don't come from a Makor Kodesh. You see how they reduce them, right? How they try to reduce them, like, to the behavior that all of us, that's the way we look at it. Because from our vantage point, those people who don't have this understanding, that's what they value the obvious. And that's the mistake. Nimtzo imke in the bottom. Shakoyach lehiz gabra. Because you have to believe that the Ovis HaKadoshim are way above our Hasogya. Right? They have a great Balamayla, Lamayla Meroish, they call Musogya Yanish. So this Rabbi said, this is the Yisoid, this is how I look at Odom Godel, this is how you understand, you have to understand our limitations, you have to understand our goals, what to work with, and let's remember Rabbi said, Pusech HaShedechom HaZvi HaLachol HaRotzeh.